Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian.
Your confirmation number for this payment is 166-442-5147. Again, that number is 166-442-5147. Just so you know, your payment...
Hi, Doug. Hi, sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. In fact, I just got off the line with Colette down in NRC headquarters.
Oh, okay.
Making sure everything goes good for the weekend.
Oh, perfect. You have a lot of plans you have to do for that, right?
Oh, my gosh, more than I thought.
I know. Volunteering for these things sometimes is more overwhelming than you think.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, it's... The information you want to give out.
Yeah.
Then you got to look on the other side and see, well, what do the doctors want to get? What do they want to have? So then you got to go a little bit further than that. So it's been an exciting time period.
That's good. So great. So you have 15 minutes or so?
I do.
Okay,
I do.
Great. So thanks again for taking this time for the interview. And, I'm working on a book called Super Brain, Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life. I intend to have it out at the end of November, and we're going to have a big launch and everything associated with that. And so my publisher asked me, as I may have mentioned, asked me to interview a variety of experts in the field to make it very practical and also to get some excellent quotes from people. So I'm going to record this just to make sure the quotes are accurate, and then I'll get back to you in a short time to tell you which quote I think I'm going to put in the book. And
sure.
So anyway, the focus of this is to come up with different methods that people have found effective in helping people enhance their brain function and preserve it. So NRCT is obviously going to be one important section of the book too. So you've been in practice for how many years now?
I've been in practice since 1978, January, in fact.
Well, congratulations. All right.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. About 5 years ago, one of the doctors in town called me and said, "Hey, yeah, I want to talk to one of the old guys, and you're one of the old guys now." I want to go, "When did I turn to one of the old guys?"
That's really funny. So, okay, old guy. So, based on your years of experience, what kind of thing, like chiropractic's very helpful, obviously, because it deals with the whole nervous system. So tell me something about that. And so if someone was coming in to wanting to preserve their memory and preserve their functioning, what would you say would be a regimen or a treatment schedule or something that you would recommend for them?
Right. What we do at our clinic is, of course, we start off with chiropractic.
Yep.
And that's when we use NRC technique or chiropractic regular adjustments on that, because the brain has got to communicate with the body.
Uh-huh.
And the body's got to communicate back. And any time you lose that communication, in my opinion, brain cells start to die off. They've got research now that says people that start to lose their hearing actually start to lose brain cells, and maybe a precursor to Alzheimer's. All these type of things go in. So once that communication starts to get broken down, those cells are no longer needed. And in the human body, if something's no longer needed, it's gotten rid of.
Uh-huh.
So if we're not using the brain cells in a communication, then it's going to get rid of. So that's one of the primal parts that I start with is with chiropractic and, of course, NRC technique to help open those that nervous system up. The second thing I work on is water. Too many people are dehydrated out there.
Uh-huh.
And the brain, being just like Jell-O, if you don't add enough water to Jell-O, it doesn't work right. And the brain does not work right.
Mm.
So you've got to keep that going. Way too many people are just totally dehydrated. So one of our biggest regimens in our clinic is water. We preach that every day.
And so do you, are there particular recommendations that you have for water filtration systems and stuff like that? Do you find that important?
I do.
Yeah.
There's, as you know, there's so many toxins in our food, so many toxins in our water that we've got to decrease that. We've got a lot of systems that we utilize here in Salina. I don't really get into them. I'm just telling them they're going to have to do something with that to
right.
the system.
Okay.
Or get bottled water.
Yeah.
Those type of things. But, yeah, you have to do that. You know, the fluorides, the chemicals. I mean, we're talking about, and I talk to my patients about getting off of GMO foods. You know, that definitely works with the nervous system. And any foods that are heavy in pesticides, you got to wash your fruit and vegetables. Because the pesticides are basically affect the nervous system of the bugs. That's how they kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're eating food, healthy food, that has pesticides still on, residual pesticides, you know, we're knocking our nervous system all over the place and destroying brain cells.
That's right.
So that's something I really work with that on that too.
And so that's more of an avoidance type of thing? I mean, it's a prevention type thing, suggesting people to do that, but...
If you it's one of those systems where you have to detox.
Yes.
So, like a lot of clinics do, we've got a detox system going on in our place. Through vitamins, we also do a foot detox.
Uh-huh.
But if you're going to continue putting toxins in your system, you're just going to be running things, through the whole time. You're never going to detox.
That's right.
So you've got to change your diet. You've got to change the way you eat and what you eat. You got to start looking at organic. You got to take better care and look to see what kind of food you're eating.
Uh-huh.
So we talk to our patients a lot about going down to the farmer markets, support the local food vendors,
uh-huh.
so that if you can get locally, the chances are it's going to be closer to organic. Still, you're going to see some pesticides and stuff on a lot of those things.
Yeah,
but it's not going to be near as much because it's not a big factory farm that's going through.
Oh, that makes sense.
So we really push locally, local farm food.
Excellent. Excellent. And so there's farmers markets, and there's also ones that are like organic and stuff there too?
Sure. A lot of health food stores, a lot of health grocery marts, those type of things.
Right.
We always try to get our patients to that because – if we can get the population to eat more of that healthy food,
uh-huh.
then more healthy food is going to be produced.
That's right.
And the price is going to eventually come down.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly right.
So I still work with the capitalistic system.
Yeah. Well, we have no choice. That's system
that's
we're
right.
working in.
That's
yeah.
right. And something that we just started into was coconut oil.
Ah. Okay.
And that has made made a big difference in my practice with patients with Alzheimer's or people with some memory problems.
Ah.
So we do one tablespoon of coconut oil every day.
Huh.
And if they've already got Alzheimer's, we try to make them do that every meal.
Ah, okay. And so what is it? And that's like organic coconut oil or something? Or what is it?
Oh, yeah. You got to make sure that it's in a glass container.
Uh-huh.
And it's got to be organic. And they actually even pasteurize that in some places. So it's got to be unpasteurized.
Ah, okay.
So they try to clean it up. Of course, in our wisdom as human beings, anytime we clean something up, we take everything that God or nature put in, we take that out.
That's true.
So it's better just to leave it alone, take it the way it's supposed to be, and, do it organic and do it as close to the way nature made it so that it gives us all the nutrients and, the good stuff that we need.
Yeah, and so is there a particular property of coconut oil per se that you would say that is better than some of the other oils, or it's just...
Not that I have found.
Okay.
I've had some patients get that from a lot of different places.
Yeah.
I like one little place here in town because it comes in a good green, clean glass jar.
Uh-huh.
It's one thing about coconut oil, you don't have to refrigerate it.
Oh, okay.
So you just leave it out, open it up, take a spoonful, and... Here's the wisdom of taking coconut oil. Get you a couple glass shot glasses, basically.
Yeah.
And fill them up about half full or a little bit more, and then set them out for the week. Then take one, take it down, and warm up the glass because coconut oil is a solid at room temperature.
That's right.
So as it warms up, it becomes a liquid.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more palatable to take the liquid than it is trying to choke down that solid.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I like to, if I'm having toast or something, I like sometimes putting that coconut. Well, I mean, it's coconut oil, but it's also coconut butter. What's the difference, would you say? Are they pretty similar? The butter's
just... they're pretty similar. I really personally don't know the difference between the two.
Yeah, okay.
I know my wife and I start cooking with coconut oil. You know, when we make eggs or whatever for breakfast, we use coconut oil.
You stop using bacon fat or something? So.
Yeah, it replaces that, yeah.
Yeah, because it's solid at room temperature,
and it makes it a little bit sweeter. We know
that that's true.
It makes it a little bit sweeter,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right, well, that's a great thing, the coconut oil. All right.
And, you know, something else that people don't realize is you've got to exercise.
Uh-huh.
You've got to stimulate the body. The blood has got to circulate through the body and oxygenate all the systems. And the system that it majorly oxygenates is the brain. So that's why you feel so refreshed, so energized after you do a good 15, 30-minute walk.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So it gets those things going. And another exercise is you've got to exercise the brain.
Yeah.
I have a few of my patients who are already in Alzheimer's pretty heavy. And so what I have them do is just take a set of playing cards, pick one card out, and lay it down and walk by it every day and see if you can remember what the card is.
Oh, it's upside down.
Yeah, just lay it upside down. I mean, they look at it first, and let's say it's the ace of spades.
Uh-huh.
They lay it down, and when they walk by it, they're trying to remember if it's the ace of spades or not.
Oh, interesting.
And if they can do that 3 days in a row, they add another card.
Ah.
And they have the ace of spades, the ten of diamonds. And you set them down, and you try to remember which one's which. And kind of like the old game of concentration.
Yeah.
So I have them start doing that. And it starts getting that memory, that cycle that goes through.
Exactly.
There's too many times now we're watching TV,
yep.
And we're not bringing anything forward. We're taking everything in, but nothing's coming back out. So that cycle's broken.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so one of the things I tell my patients, I love it when patients come in. If we tell them, we talk to them a lot, especially the older patients. One of my questions I always ask my patients is, how did you and your spouse meet?
Uh-huh.
I get these great stories.
Yeah.
And it's real interesting. If we can keep people telling old stories, that memory starts pulling through and they start coming out. And then later on I'll ask them, so where'd you guys eat last time or something in the... closer to the day.
Uh-huh.
And so you get memory from far away,
right.
And closer memory. And
right.
So that seems to help stimulate that too. But we don't ask, you know, we don't go out and tell stories. My grandfather used to be able to tell stories, oh my gosh, way back when. And he would sit and do poems and rhymes and riddles and stories verbatim. I mean, he knew... The One Horse Shay, he knew Hiawatha, which is, I bought the book of Hiawatha, this thing's a fairly thick book.
Uh-huh.
And I remember driving from a little town of Pratt, Kansas, up to Concordia, which is a 3-hour drive, and I remember him going through the Hiawatha tale.
Wow.
And the guy's memory is just immaculate, because he was a great storyteller.
Uh-huh.
And I've noticed those people who don't have Alzheimer's seem to love telling old stories.
Very interesting, now, yeah. And how old was your grandfather at that time?
At that time, let's see, he was probably late 60s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. And he could still do that. He died when he was about 85.
Uh-huh.
And he could still do those things.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was sharp as a tack, and... You better be ready to sit down and listen to a story.
I know. Yeah, it reminds me.
And the fish did get bigger as the years went on.
Did you record any of those stories?
I recorded one story about him and his brother and things that they did, but I never recorded any of his poems that he used to memorize.
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have at least that one story about the brothers.
Yeah. Well, you know, we used to talk one time. We went out to where the Kentons grew up, and his whole story was the story of William Tell.
Uh-huh.
Of course, he told the story on the video, a little bit of William Tell.
Yeah.
And he got to the point where the father had to shoot the apple off his son's head.
Mm.
And his brother Harry and him had both had bows that their uncle had made, bow and arrows. And so they said, well, heck, we can do that. We're good archers. So his brother Harry put a hedge apple on top of his head. And no. My granddad pulled the arrow back and was going to shoot this hedge apple off his head. And Harry said, well, don't shoot too hard just in case you miss. So my granddad said, I let the arrow back just a little bit, just a little fork, took a little tension off, so I wouldn't, you know, hurt him if it did, and shot the arrow. Well, taking that pressure off made the arrow come down a little bit, and he shot his brother Harry right in the forehead.
Oh, no.
But because he took the arrow, pushed off the arrow a little bit, it stuck in his forehead, and he was running around, and Harry was running around screaming that he had been shot by an arrow.
Oh, no.
My grandfather, Harry's dad, saw this, came running out. Here's this boy running around with an arrow stuck in his head, pulled it out, and of course it just went in far enough to just stick, and that was all.
Yeah.
It didn't penetrate very far. And took the arrows, and I said, well, what happened then? He goes, well, here's the best part of the whole story. My father, says your great-granddad, took each arrow and busted it over our behinds all the way back to the cabin and broke our bows. His brother was, William, was just down the draw a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Back in the old days. And he went to his brother's house and said, if you ever make a bow and arrow for my kids again, he says, I'll shoot you with them. And that was one of his favorite stories, because whenever we saw hedge apples, he had to go tell that story again about shooting his brother.
That's funny.
So my grandfather was not really, truly William Tell.
All right.
But he tried to be.
His last name was not Tell.
No.
But
no.
He liked to tell a lot of stories. So in his,
well,
his name is William, though.
What's that?
His name was William, or
no, his name was Lloyd Kempton.
Oh, Lloyd. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Was he a chiropractor too?
No, he actually. This is a funny story. He actually owned a liquor store.
Uh huh.
And I'll tell you something special about my grandfather. My grandfather, of course, a lot of people came in and bought liquor at his liquor store. And he says, you know, sometimes people come in and they spend more money on liquor than they do for the kids. My grandfather was probably about three blocks from the grade school in Concordia.
Uh-huh.
And if kids walked by, and I was there one day when this happened, if a child walked by and his shoes weren't in good condition,
uh-huh,
my grandfather would close his liquor store and take the kid down to the shoe store and buy him a new set of shoes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. My grandfather bought more shoes for more kids than I've ever known.
That's amazing.
And I went to, when he finally passed away, I went to the his retirement home where he lived his last few years. And one of the guys there, I remember the guy was sitting down. He was just crying.
Huh.
And I went, what? I said, can I help you? And he goes, oh, he says, one of the greatest guys just passed away.
Mm.
I said, who is that? He says, that was Lloyd Kempton. I said, well, that was my grandfather. And he said, let me tell you a story. He says, one time I was walking past his liquor store, and I was wearing my brother's beat-up old winter jacket. He said, your grandfather closed his liquor store, grabbed me, took me down to, I think it was Brown's, or one of the nice clothing stores in town, and bought him his first and only new winter jacket.
God.
So that's my grandfather. That's where I come from. So when it comes to Alzheimer's and all these type of things, aging processes, we're losing two, where those people need to be helped. Because we lose too many grandparents through the line, and we need to keep them around.
That's so true. Very good point.
Yeah.
All right. Any other great words of wisdom? That was great, because this whole storytelling thing is such a integrative aspect of the brain. And, you know, all the senses, there's the hearing, there's the visual that's going on, there's the speech, obviously, all those different nerves working together, and breathing. You have to breathe in order to tell a story.
It all works together, and that brain's got to be doing all that. Of course, as you and I both know, it runs all every cell, tissue, organ in the body, and if it doesn't, then the brain shuts itself down, because where that brain cell goes down, that nerve goes down to that organ.
Yeah.
Once it starts malfunction, I think the brain has a tendency to just almost like give up.
Exactly.
Those brain cells start to die off.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, something else too, just between kind of you and me and stuff. Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know if you've got into it. You know, a lot of we start getting out of the sun.
Ah.
We need vitamin D3.
Yeah.
To help with the nervous system and the brain. That's all that is. And, you know, we keep hiding from the sun because of cancer. Vitamin D3 is one of the best cancer-fighting products out there, along with working with the nervous system.
Yeah.
I think hiding away indoors has damaged our brain and causes Alzheimer's.
That makes all kinds of sense. That makes all kinds of sense. So, I know it's a little past the 15 minutes, but when you're you have time for like another question?
Oh, sure. No, I've got all the time in the world.
Okay. So the in my office, and I've been in practice since 83, and so there's a lot of different kinds of assessment forms and other assessment tests and things that I do with patients.
Uh-huh.
And trying to do more having to do with memory and cognitive function, not only just examination, but forms that we can use that track what's going on.
Right.
And a couple of them are from Apex Energetics. I don't know if you know of them, but are there any particular forms that you feel are helpful to track individuals' memory at an early age so it can actually be tracked over time?
You know, I haven't found anything that seems to work very well.
Uh-huh.
And I've tried different things, and you know, it's almost like I say, with those cards, that seems to work the best.
Yeah. And
because they see that, and I'll be honest with you, when they walk up there and they come back in, they say, "Doc, I had 5 cards out today, and I couldn't remember any of them."
Uh-huh.
And that's when you know things aren't going good.
Yep.
And I have to keep track of how many cards they can do. And I have them do three. I have them do one card.
Uh-huh.
3 days. And as soon as they know that for 3 days, and a second card for 3 days. If they do that, they keep going. And I've had some guys who have got up to like 10 or 12 cards.
Uh-huh.
So, and then, you know, they just flip them over and stuff. I haven't done. I probably need to do that with people who don't have Alzheimer's.
Exactly.
To see what the record
I know. I know. I know. I was just. So, do you do it yourself, or have you used that as a tracking?
You know, device? I have just to see if I can do things.
Yeah.
What I started doing to keep my mind going is I'll do my examination, and that will be, you know, I'll do range of motion, and I'll try to remember everybody's degrees. I try to remember all 6. Listings and then try to write those down from memory. So as I'm doing my examination, I don't try to write down right away. I try to keep it in my mind for a while, see if I can remember those things.
So this is for the NRC, or this is for chiropractic, for all the segments of the spine?
It would be NRC, and it would be also for regular chiropractic.
Uh-huh.
Just a regular range of motion.
Right.
Those type of things.
Right,
so
right.
Yeah, I do that. So yeah. So I try to, you know, do a few of those things. And one of the things that I did, and I haven't done this for a while, is to, like, say, a phone number,
uh-huh.
like the last 4 digits.
Yeah.
Try to remember that number in that way, which is easy. Try to reverse it and see if you can do it backwards.
Ah.
Backwards is always makes you think a little harder.
It does. It definitely does.
So, yeah. Yeah. So that's always a program you can do.
All right. Excellent.
But the cards seem to work really good. And the people really get excited when they've gone. They go, you know, I've been at 5 cards. I can't do 5 cards and remember 3 days in a row. And then when they finally come in after a week or you know, they've been gone for a couple of weeks or whatever, and they come in and go, "Hey, Doc, I'm up to 7 cards." and they really love that.
That is great.
So,
and yeah, other areas of their memory improve too?
Their spouses seem to think so.
Uh-huh.
They're more energetic. They get out more. They want to do more. So I think you know, once the brain starts to die off, everything else does too.
Yes.
Once it starts to regenerate, the body starts to regenerate also.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, I thank you for your interview.
Oh, you bet. You bet. And I can't wait to see you down here. We'll have a good time.
Exactly. It's going to be really good. And at the moment, I do have one news appearance that's booked. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to try to see if I can get them to. How many is it going to be a good turnout for the conference? Or this?
Looks like we're going to be between 15 and 20. So we're looking at probably about 19.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll talk to them and see if we can get some coverage for that too.
Yeah. All right. Sounds great.
All right. Very. And I understand it is Salina. When I was talking to someone, and you know, the news anchor, and I said, well, it's you know, I'm going to be in Salina, and she said, well, you know, this is Kansas. It's actually Salina. So
yeah,
she corrected me on that.
They will shoot you in this town if you say Salina.
I know, but it's Saline County, right?
Story behind the name, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
It's originally, it was called Salinas.
Oh.
That was originally it was.
Oh, with an S at the end.
Salinas means basically salt water, salty area.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when the people were coming across with the covered wagons,
yeah,
the last place they wanted to go was to a salty place.
Oh.
So they pronounced it a little different so that the people on the East Coast would come and settle here.
That's funny. That's great. I mean, I'm from Indiana originally. And and in elementary school, we had to learn, you know, about state history and stuff. And on the front page, there was this story about how we became called Hoosiers. You want to hear it?
So, I do.
You know, a lot of people back then were coming through the Calistoga wagons and stuff and passing through and stuff. And they would often need some extra thing or something. So they'd stop at people's homes and they knock on the door, and the people inside would go, "Who's there?" And if we became called Hoosiers because we used to say, "Who's there?" Isn't that ridiculous? I know it's unbelievable, but certainly changing a name to Salina from Salinas makes a lot of sense. Those people had a lot of common sense back then.
Oh, yeah. All right, Doc. Hey, listen, where did you take your training at?
I took it with Paul Whitcomb in Lake Tahoe. It was the last class that he did.
Okay.
Then I've also done it. I've taken a few refresher classes other places too. And I was out in Las Vegas too with Rob DiMartino and stuff. So it's been, I think I did that one in November or something, but you know, it's an opportunity to just check out other people's offices and see how things are going and new ideas as far as marketing.
Yeah. Are you going to be down here Thursday? Or are you going to come down Friday morning?
I am going to be here Thursday. Yeah.
You know what time you're coming in?
Well, I'm arriving late on Thursday. Well, very early Thursday morning, and then I'm going to be doing that midday news appearance at 11:45.
Okay.
And then there's plenty of time to get up there for between 3 and 6 or something, right? Is that when you're doing?
Right.
Your office is going to be.
Yeah, and our office is going to be open to everybody on Thursday. So
exactly. I was looking forward to that.
I just want to make sure you're going to be here for Thursday night because we're going to hit one of the best pizza places in the United States.
Okay.
At one time it was ranked one of the top 10 in America.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's great.
All right, that sounds fantastic.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, Jay, we'll talk to you when you get here then.
Okay, thanks, Doug.
You bet. You can call
anytime. All right, fantastic. Thanks a lot.
You bet.
All right, bye.
Bye.
If you are interested in finding out more about how you or your relatives can avoid dementia, buy the book, Outsmarting the Dementia Epidemic, 7 Key Memory Care Actions to Avoid Alzheimer's and Successfully Keep Your Brain Safe, Sharp, and Sexy into the Future, by going to OutsmartingDementia.com. That's OutsmartingDementia.com. If you'd like to learn more about how to get an appointment with Dr. Sordian, please call the Redwood Clinic at 510-849-1176. And for information, go to theredwoodclinic.com. Thank you.